To have no vision must be something that was hard to bear. No ability to see the sun in the sky. No ability to see its rays reflect on the earth. No ability to see the beauty of God's creation that is all around. No ability to see those things that so many of us take for granted. Not able to see the people whose feet you can hear tramping on the way past. You can't see the one of whom crowds give their attention to. You can only discern the stare. Welcome to the world of the man of whom you find in my passage tonight. Here it was a man who had never seen the miracles that Christ performed while he was upon this earth. He had not the opportunity of beholding the dead been raised to life by the word of the Master. He had never seen the lepers being healed by his touch. He had never seen the lame caused to walk. But understand something. That while this man had not seen these things in a physical sense, he was a man whose understanding had been opened by God. For his soul had a certain amount of light about it, and in that sense, here's a man who's in a better place. Here's a man who is in a more advanced place than many who sit under the sound of the gospel tonight. For many tonight, the scales are still over their eyes that they cannot see. How many have come into God's house tonight and have no concern of soul? They have no inclination toward the things of God. They're not interested in how they stand before a holy God with whom one day they will have to do, and consequently they do not feel their need, and neither do they see the precarious place in which they are found tonight. Maybe some have just come because someone else has invited them and will go to the house of God and will spend the hour and will get it out of the road and will go home again. But alas, you have no concern of soul over how you stand before God. And it is to such that we need to pray that their eyes might be anointed with eye salve, that they might see. And in seeing, they would be brought to see the one who is the only Savior who can save them, even the Lord Jesus Christ. For unknown to this preacher tonight, there could be one in this meeting just like this man in my passage. And this is the last chance to be saved. The last chance to be right with God. That's a very solemn thought. I want you to see, first of all here, a helpless condition. It wasn't uncommon to see those who were blind or those who were disabled in one way or another to be found sitting by the wayside in the land of Israel. But in this instance, we are given the name of this man, and he has become affectionately known as Blind Bartimaeus. But what we are given in description of this man, I believe we see in him not only one who was a helpless condition, but also we see ourselves without Christ and without God's salvation. God shows us ourselves by this man. Now, what details are we given about him? Let me show you, first of all, that you'll notice something of his background. You look at the words of verse 46, for we're going no further than 46 just for a minute or two. And verse 46 instructs us something of where this man was to be found. It was just outside the place called Jericho. Let me read the verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And of course, whenever you read of Jericho, you're considering a place which, geographically speaking, was built on a very low level. And for one to make their way to Jerusalem, the very center of activity, the very place where the temple of God was, then there was an upward journey all the way from this place called Jericho. It rested just near the banks of the Jordan. And the man who was to fall among thieves, as we read in another passage in Luke's Gospel, he was to be helped by the Samaritan, was one, we are told, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And so I trust you get the picture in your mind's eye of the geographical setting. Jerusalem was always up in the heights, and the road came right down to this place called Jericho, right in the Jordan Basin. You know what this place was in the physical sense was but reflective of what it was in the spiritual. For remember that it was Jericho which was first conquered when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan and into the promised land that God had promised to them. And upon that great victory that God himself gave, Jericho from that day forth was under the curse of God. You see, I read in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Men and women, from the very day that God caused those walls to fall down upon themselves, and the children of Israel went in, and they were to capture that city, from that very day, the curse of God was upon this place. And it was from this place, the place of the curse, that this man came from. He was an inhabitant of the city that should never have been built again and which had the curse of God upon it. His background, we might say, is the same as every one of us born into this world. For because we fell in Adam's sin, and because we rebelled against God, we too are under the wrath, are under the curse of God. You see, I want to remind you of John 3 and verse 36. And here it defines everyone in this meeting tonight. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. God's wrath already hangs over you, is already upon you. You're just like this man, whose background we see was from the city of Jericho. For while we remain in our sinful state, we cannot expect nor hope for the blessing of God. And maybe that was something that Bartimaeus was to realize. For we read that he was on that road just outside the city of Jericho. And my dear friend, if you're ever to be saved and you're ever to have the glorious hope of the gospel, then it will mean for you having to leave sin behind. You can't be saved and hold on to your sin. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's his background. But you know, we're given something else. See, also, this man was blind. Verse 46. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. What a helpless condition this man was really in. He couldn't see. And that meant he was a man who dwelt in total darkness. Not a ray of light was ever to brighten up his darkness. He knew nothing else all the days of his life, all the hours of every day, of every week. He's blind. And my dear friend, the scriptures remind us that as sinners by birth, we too are spiritually blind. Oh yes, we may have a physical sight that God in His mercy has given to each one of us. There are two eyes to be able to see. But there is the inbred darkness of the soul. And that's a different matter. And the will and the heart of man is inclined towards sin. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And because of that we read in John 3 in the words of verse 20. I want you to listen to these words. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light. See that? Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Of themselves there is none that will come to Christ. They're in darkness. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Left to yourself, can I put it like this? You'll never come to the Savior. For you're in darkness tonight. And you won't come to Him who is the light, lest your sins will be reproved. This man is just like the sinner tonight in the meeting, for man dwells in darkness. He's blind to the beauty of Christ and to God's salvation. And unless the Savior, who is the true light of the world, dispels that darkness, then that soul that will live on as long as God lives, will spend all eternity in outer darkness, in that place where there is the wailing and there is the gnashing of teeth. There shall be those who will never see Christ, and they'll never see the beauties of heaven. I wonder tonight, is that you in this meeting, still blinded by the devil in your sin, without hope in this world or that which is to come? Your background is just like this man, high, and your spiritual state is just like this man. You're blind. But notice also that Bartimaeus, due to his blindness, was unable to do anything for himself, and so he was also a beggar. Look at the words of verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. He could not do anything by way of working for his living, and so he had to beg for his daily bread. He had to sit there in his hopeless, in his helpless condition, a man with the scales over his physical eyes, and he had to beg for his living. Here's a man who was in the most helpless condition. And you know there's many like him throughout the land of Israel. And so it is with the unconverted man or woman or young person tonight. Do the Scriptures not remind us that we are spiritual beggars? By birth, by nature, or by background, there's not one of us who are rich toward God. Oh, there's many a talk today about the physical riches that can be acquired. There's many who are laying up the treasures. They're laying up the treasures and the riches on earth. They're just like that farmer who had the glorious harvest, and he said, I will build greater barns. I will say to my soul, take ease, rest and be merry. And there's many tonight who are building up the physical riches on earth, but in reality they're bankrupt before God. For there are those things that they haven't done, the sins of omission. And there are the record books that are full of the sins that they've committed. And I want to tell you something tonight, dear soul. The sinner is one who's in debt to God. And I want to tell you something else. It's a debt that you cannot pay. For God's law demands without the shedding of blood there is no remission. What a hopeless, what a helpless condition that the sinner is in, just like this man, Bartimaeus. But in realizing his state, and with the light of God having awakened him to his condition, this man understood that there was only one thing he could do. He's sitting by the wayside. He's blind. He's begging. He's the background of coming from the place of the curse. And there's only one thing he could do. What was it? Verse 47. He was to call upon the Lord for mercy. That's all he could do. And hearing that the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, was passing that way, he cried with all his heart for him to have mercy towards him. And I want you to see it. Look at verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice it was a personal cry. Have mercy on me. There's no one else that could cry for him. And dear soul, tonight, it doesn't matter in a sense if father see it or mother see it. You need God's salvation yourself. You need that personal experience that your sister or your father or your brother has. And here's a man and he cries, Lord, have mercy on me. Have you got to that place yet? I trust by God's grace that you'll get there tonight. For I don't only want you to see a helpless condition, but I want you to see a hindering crowd. This man, who obviously hadn't seen the power of Christ in his miracles, must have heard of the reports of the mighty things that God had done. And in hearing of them, that was enough. Here's a man that didn't need to see the charismatic signs or wonders that so many are running after today. He just heard of what the Lord had done, for in hearing of what was reported of Christ, he believed this must be the Messiah, this must be the promised Savior. And therefore, Bartimaeus was to cry out for the Lord to have mercy upon him as he passed by that way. But what we must realize is that there were others there and they were of no help to this man. In fact, they were a hindrance. You see, the crowd were determined that he would remain silent. Look at verse 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. You see that word charged? It gives the sense that he was rebuked severely. They severely rebuked him to keep quiet. They were determined that he would not be heard. They were determined that he would not force his misery on the attention of the Savior who was passing that way. They were certainly no encouragement to this man who needed the help and who sought the attention of the Lord. And men and women, how often in God's Word do we see and do we read of the crowds and their hindrance for others seeking the Lord? Wasn't it the case with Zacchaeus? That publican, it says that he could not see the Lord for the press, for the crowd, and that is why he moved and he went up into the tree. And here's another crowd, and here's a crowd that sought that the blind man would not be heard by the Lord. They rebuked him to keep quiet. And you know, it does but remind us that this world is no friend to grace or to God. The crowds are usually they who are determined to have nothing to do with Christ and who are readily are determined to silence anyone who is. And I want to tell you, the world hasn't changed one iota. The world's still at enmity against God tonight. The world's still against Christ. The crowd of this world is not interested in hearing even the desperate cry of one of their own. One of their own. They were determined that he would be silent. But see also the direction that the crowds were going. I have in my mind's eye, you know, this great crowd of people thronging around the Savior as he passed through Jericho and as he goes out the road toward Jerusalem. I have in my mind's eye the crowds of people along that road and they're standing in front of this blind man who's sitting there begging. And the crowd are telling him to remain silent. And this great crowd is moving forward as a mass, a great mass of people. So that within a very short space of time, the Lord would have passed by Bartimaeus and any opportunity of him meeting with Christ and receiving his sight would be gone. The crowds are around the Lord. The crowds are along the side in front of this man, and they're just moving in one direction. But while the crowd weren't interested in Bartimaeus, thank God the one who knew all about him was. And so you see that while the crowd were content to pass onward, leaving Jericho behind, and within a very few days they and others would soon be crying out, "Away with him, crucify him," as they stood before Pilate, the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in verse 49, I like it, what's it say? And Jesus stood still. Here's a man that caused the Lord to stand still on his way to Jerusalem. He stood still. The direction of the crowd was going was contrary to the will of God. For as they were onward on a march, the Lord stood still. And the Savior had come that he might fulfill the will of his Father and to do his work. And that meant stopping, and that meant meeting with this needy soul. Dear soul, it is my prayer tonight for some of you that you would not let the crowd of this world keep you any longer from seeking the Lord in salvation. There are people out there, and you fear what they would say if you were to tell them tomorrow morning you've got saved. You fear that. Understand that those worldly friends are ushering you along to a lost sinner's eternity. The crowd to you might be the crowd of businessmen. The crowd to you might be the crowd of the sports people. I have been in some of the cities in England in particular, in Scotland, and the football is their god. Maybe you're part of that crowd, and maybe you're part of the crowd of the worldly pleasure tonight, and it's rushing you on, it's ushering you on to a lost eternity in hell. And they're surging onwards, and you're along with them, and they haven't time, nor have they the interest to stop and to heed the word and the invitation of the living Christ. That's the direction the crowd is taking. Here was a crowd who were detached from the priority of this man. You see, Bartimaeus may have been shouted down, and he may have been severely rebuked, but it gave him the greater incentive to cry over the top of them for the mercy of God. Look at verse 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." His desire, his yearning for his great need to be met was greater than the opinion of the crowd. He wasn't going to let them rob him of this opportunity. He wasn't going to miss out on meeting with the Christ of God. Why? Because his priority was that he might receive his sight. He cried out the more a great deal. If others don't know or others don't care about the misery of blindness, he did. If they didn't realize their own deplorable state, there was one thing for sure, he did. And some of your friends and some of your workmates, they don't realize the deplorable state they're in. But I wonder, do you? I wonder, do you realize it? You feel it here in the heart. You conscious of it, that you're not right with God. And therefore, by faith, you can see this man. He cried above the crowd, and he cried by faith unto the Lord that he might have mercy upon him. You see, he had the faith to believe that Christ would hear his cry and that he would meet him at the point of his very need. If he didn't believe that much, he wouldn't have cried out. You know, that reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and it says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the good news, men and women, is this tonight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a gift of God. Let me ask you this evening, have you the faith to believe that the Lord could save your soul tonight? You the faith to believe that the Lord could cause your heart to be right with him again tonight? Maybe you can look back many, many years ago and you got down before God and you asked the Lord into your heart and you were saved and for a time you walked well. But that's years ago. Do you believe tonight the Lord is still married to you? You're the backslider. Do you believe tonight earnestly that the Lord can bring you back to himself now? You see, a life of saving faith starts where Bartimaeus started. Where'd he start? He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Don't let the crowd take you to hell tonight. Don't let the crowd, whatever it is, lose the joy, lose the reward that when you reach the glory if you're a backslider. But let me show you finally here a heavenly calling. Here was a blind man dwarfed by the crowds and with many a hindrance around him. Yet in the midst of that great throng, the Lord stopped and he was direct his attention towards him. Now I want you to see verse 49, for there you have the Lord calling. For it says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. He commanded him to be called. The good news was passed to Bartimaeus. Be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And I want you to see it. What a blessing it was to hear the call of the Master, to hear those inviting words of the gospel. Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's still the invitation that's going out tonight in the gospel. But did you see it? That the words weren't directly addressed to him by the Savior. They were conveyed to him by some of the Savior's followers. For we read there in verse 49, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, there was a conveying of the message. And dear soul, the same is still the case to this very day. For God is pleased to use earthen vessels to convey the treasures of the gospel to needy sinners. The Lord desires that his own people would be those channels through which he can flow and be used to tell the glorious invitation of the gospel to those who are blinded and cannot see the beauty of the Savior. Oh, listen, it hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What a word that is to those who are saved tonight. God wants us to be those channels of blessing. God wants us to receive the word from the Lord and to convey that word and the gospel to that soul that you know and I know who's blind and who's desperate and who's still not saved. Tell me, dear believer, are you telling others the glorious message? Are you guiding and helping others to the Savior? Just like those were that day who relayed this call of Christ to this blind Bartimaeus. Is the Lord calling tonight to some heart? I want you to see something. I want you to understand that not only was the Lord calling, but this was also the last chance of Bartimaeus. I already have spoken to you of the setting of this great miracle. It was Jericho. It was a place low down, geographically speaking. But look at it, look at its setting in the context of the gospel account, and you will come to realize that the Savior was on the road out of Jericho. And on that road out of Jericho, now he was ascending up to Jerusalem. He was now upon the last stage of his journey that would take him to Calvary and there to lay down his life for guilty, hell-deserving sinners, there to die as the sinner's substitute, there to die for lost, guilty, hell-deserving souls like you and me. There he became sin. There he took our sin in his own body, and he was to bear it away. And he's now on that final stage of that journey. He's going now to the cross. He's going now to Calvary. And then soon, never again would the Savior walk that way. Never again would he pass through Jericho. Never again would blind Bartimaeus hear the stir as the Savior passed by that way. For blind Bartimaeus, this was his last chance of being healed. This was the last chance of hearing those words from the Savior that you read in verse 52. For it says there, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I want you to look at your margin. For Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee." The last chance to be saved. For Miss Christ. And he would not be able to say, "Once I was blind, but now I see." This was his last chance. What about you tonight? As the Savior is calling, as the Savior is passing this way, oh, what if it's the last opportunity? What if it's your last chance of closing in with Christ and God's offer of mercy to your soul? What if this was your last chance of knowing the Savior passing by and being able to experience His power on your soul? Bartimaeus wasn't going to miss out. For he was to make confession with his mouth what his great need was. Verse 51. For he said unto the Lord, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." The Lord knows those who need to be saved. I wonder, will you ask Him now? You see the Lord calling here. You see the last chance here. But I want you to see the life changed here. For Bartimaeus was to have his prayer answered. For the Lord granted him his request. And immediately he received the sight. And you see that in the last verse. And you know the first person that his eyes beheld. It was the one who saved him. It was the Christ of glory. It was the Savior who was going to the cross. His eyes opened to behold Him who is altogether lovely. It's the first thing he saw. The one who had stopped on his way on the cross to heal him. Will your eyes behold the Savior one day? Face to face with Christ, my Savior, face to face, what will it be? Or will instead He be your judge? For you know, there's not only the vision of His eyes that denoted the changed life, but see the evidence here. Look at the words of the last verse. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He didn't go home. But the grace of God enabled him to follow the Lord in the way. A journey that led him upwards into the city of Jerusalem. Where is Christ leading His people tonight? It is upward to that celestial city. To that new Jerusalem where one day we shall reign with Christ. He's leading His people home. Christ, you see, not only saves, but He also enables us to walk for Him. With Him. So dear man, young person, or woman tonight, don't listen to the lies of the devil. For the devil will come and say to you, "You boy, you need to be saved. And the preacher's right, you need to be saved tonight. But you couldn't keep it. Dead right, you couldn't keep it. But the Christ who saves is the Christ who keeps. And enables us to live and to walk with the Savior. You consider the words of Romans 8 and verse 14 in closing. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit enables us to walk with Christ and to walk for Christ. That's the very least we can do. For the man who boasts of having the Savior and yet is not following the Savior, he's a deceiver and he's being deceived. Have you heard his call? Then come tonight. Be saved, be washed in his precious blood. Know your sins are forgiven and start for heaven and start for home. Be like this man. May God help you to come for Christ's sake.